Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the McKinney Main Street Board Meeting. If you don't notice, I had surgery, so speaking's a little difficult, so if you can't hear me, just raise your hand or something. I'll try to repeat it. Let's start with my left with a call to order, please. Jim?
Jim Schwalz.
Kim Black.
Lauren Smith.
Mike Buchanan.
Daniel Stamfel.
Kate McAnally.
Heather Lowry.
Whitney Nash.
Ornell Perez.
Okay, thank you. This is a public meeting. If there's anybody from the public wishing to speak, please fill out a card and hand it to the clerk. I don't think there is. We'll just start with our reports. First up is an update on the 2026 McKinney Board and Commission member appointments.
Good morning, Chair, Board members, Director Andrew. I'm Edith Reese, Accreditation and Reporting Specialist. This is a quick informational update regarding the Boards and Commission member appointment process. Each year, approximately half of all McKinney Boards and Commissions appointments expire, with those vacancies filled by City Council vote. So we're currently taking applications from the public who wish to apply and serve on a Board of Commission, including interested incumbent members who are interested in reappointment. To be considered, individuals, including incumbent members with terms expiring this year in 2026, must complete an application and participate in an interview. The application can be accessed online, and the deadline to apply is June 19. Interviews will be in July. And on Tuesday, August 25th, the City Council will appoint members. Board members can serve up to 2 or 3 consecutive terms, depending on which board they are assigned to. And in addition to preparing for the service for the board, board members must complete open government training and any other assigned training prior to October 1st. A copy of the text file is attached to the agenda, and on this file you'll find the board roster detailing your service record and eligibility for reappointment. For this board, the maximum consecutive full terms allowed is 2, and from the current roster, there are 4 members with terms expiring this year and are eligible for reappointment. One member has met their term limit, and the remaining members all have terms expiring next year. So at that time, we will revisit this information to provide you with an update. That concludes my informational update. I do want to thank you all for your time, dedication, and service to this board, and I'll stand for any questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, item 260425, City Liaison Report.
It's just me today. We don't have any city manager, Dre, so I'm swinging without a net here. So, okay, I'm just going to talk about a few things on my mind. Number one is, doesn't it seem like there's a lot going on downtown? You know, we've got the impact renovation. We've got the city hall and the development services building, you know, coming down. We have the library. We have the water tower. And now we have parking, and there may be some other stuff that I'm forgetting. So I see that, are we going over the parking thing here today in this meeting?
I have it on my update.
Okay, that's good. So I'm not going to get into it too much, but parking downtown is, you know, it's been a different level of issue for a long time, I think forever since there were horses. It probably remains so, but we're tackling it. So that's a big deal. We opened the new fire headquarters last week, and that is up there on Taylor Burke, right next to the police headquarters. And so fire used to share with police, and so they're in a new shiny building, and that campus has a logistics center, which is kind of think warehouse for all their hoses and their goods and stuff like that. It's incredible. And also a new fire station number 2. The old fire station number 2 was basically at the corner of Community and 380 on land that the college continues to own. I think we're occupying it a little bit into the future just for some additional storage and stuff, but that's going to go back to the college. That gives us an opportunity to give the police more breathing room as that department is growing. So City Council next week will be taking up the beginnings of some budgetary renovations to that building to make it better for the police as they now stand alone in that building. We are tackling the Grady Littlejohn softball complex as the first part of the Town Lake renovations next week. You may recall that I think it was about 18 months ago, the concession stand burned down. It was a really cold night. I think there were some vagrancy issues there, and they set a fire to stay warm and cooked our concession stand, so we're doing a big redo over there. We're addressing next week to extend Taxiway Alpha. Taxiway Alpha is the taxiway next to our runway on the west side of our airport, the developed general aviation side. The county's paying for a 500-foot runway extension. It's going to take us to 8,002 feet. They paid for that 500, but we need to get the taxiway adjacent to that 500 feet built. When we redid Taxiway A Alpha a couple years ago, we got 95% reimbursement, this is on the south end of the airport, from the FAA, so I anticipate we'll get some good reimbursements there, but we have all that money in the construction fund at the airport as it is. So those are the big things that I can think about that don't deal with y'all particularly, and I will stand for any questions on anything going on in the city. Oh, one thing, we have a shred event tomorrow. So if you have shredding, you can bring up the, I think it's three boxes, right here at City Hall, 8 to 11.
Wow.
Nothing.
Any questions?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. Next up, item 260426, the M Group reports.
We have Sarah from Visit McKinney today.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Sarah Nolting, and I'm with Visit McKinney. Aaron couldn't be here this morning because he's speaking at a breakfast at the Sports Invitational. That conference is something our team is hosting this week. Last night, we had the opening reception at Tepps Brewery, and the attendees got to ride the trolley through downtown to Tepps from the Sheraton. Got a lot of compliments on downtown and the historic district, and they really enjoyed Tepps. So it was a great evening. And the conference has about 30 attendees, and today they'll be doing some one-on-one conversations. It's sports professionals talking to different cities about bringing their tournaments to those cities. Next week, May 21st through 24th, is the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. Our team will be hosting a booth out there. It's the McKinney Experience booth, and we've been working with two vendors to create an interactive activation experience. We'll have information up about all the different attractions and things coming to McKinney, such as the airport, Cannon Beach. We have a downtown part as well, highlighting all of the fun events and programs going on. If y'all are able to attend, we would love to see you stop by and say hello. For the summer of soccer that is coming up with the World Cup, all of our teams, Main Street, Visit McKinney, the Chupacabras, and Tufts have been working together to create a unique experience and determining how best we can market McKinney to people that are going to be in town for this summer. Tufts will be the kind of home base. They've added a bunch of TVs, and they're adding signage and some activations and different things throughout the summer. They'll have a kickoff event on June 6th, and they're still working out kind of the final details and what the programming will look like, but that should be a fun event as well. And then there's a webpage on our site, visitmckinney.com/soccer, that highlights all of the soccer events that are here this summer, as well as deals and specials that people can take advantage of while they're in town. Lastly, for America 250, I know it's going to be a big day with all the July 4th festivities. We've created a page on our website, visitmckinney.com/America250, and it will highlight red, white, and boom, as well as all the history-themed events that are happening throughout town leading up to the event. And with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything, AJ?
Good morning. So this last month we had our projects grants, and we had three applicants that submitted for projects grants, Habitat for Humanity, Hugs Greenhouse, and Cotton Mill. We will be awarding these grants this next meeting. Our promotions grants are open, so anybody with a promotion grant, it needs to be submitted by the end of the month, and we'll be reviewing those next month. Our retail development infrastructure grants go open in July, so if you know anybody that can apply to those, that would be wonderful. We are celebrating our 30th anniversary, MCDC. So last month was the official birthday of MCDC. So in our meetings every month, we get to highlight some of the wonderful projects that we've done over the last 30 years for our city. So if you haven't seen any of those, I really recommend going back and looking at some of the videos and our agendas. It is just absolutely phenomenal to see what an impact that MCDC has had in our community for the last 30 years. Other than that, I don't have anything else. Do you guys have any questions?
No, thank you.
Thanks, Adrian.
Okay. Item 260428, subcommittee updates. 27. Didn't mean to skip it. Item 260427, director's report.
Take a look at some of the notes. We had our downtown sales tax collection was a pretty strong month in April. We have a lot of movement in downtown. There's a lot of changes, a lot of people expanding, moving around in different locations. We have E-Ride Outfitters expanded over here by on the east side over to 2351 East Louisiana. That opened up their spot. Hams is expanding into that location, their old location on the west, which is great for them. We have Cypher Lounge is an escape room. It's coming in right over by Guava Tree, right across the street at 101 South Chestnut. That's an escape room plus bar food experience. So that's kind of a unique concept. Kimley Horn took over over at 225 East Virginia. They're doing quite a bit of expansion over there. And then Tyler Kingston is a new men's shop coming over at Native's old spot at 207 North Tennessee. But I will say in the last month or so, Graham and myself, we've met with close to 60 different merchants, business, you know, concepts that are trying to come into downtown or moving. And so we've been very busy of late just trying to get spaces filled and meet with people, both on fire suppression, but also just trying to get business concepts coming in. We next week, Thursday the 21st, here at City Hall, at the Fitzhugh Hall, we have a downtown stakeholder focus group for the Better Together initiative on the homeless. It's a citywide event, and this is kind of focused just on downtown stakeholders. It is a focus group, so it's not a public meeting, and it's really meant to be a listening session. And they're going to do this for lots of different interest groups throughout the city. But this is, I've sent invitations to all the board members. So I know some of y'all can make it, some of you can't. But if you can, it should be a really low key event where they're just going to be listening and gathering feedback on the issues that we're seeing with homelessness in downtown. Sarah talked a lot about our World Cup promotions. One thing that I did want to talk about is we're working on a downtown collectible passport with TUPS on that. It is, the summer of soccer is branded that way because of, FIFA World Cup, has a lot of their own branding, and we have to be very careful and make sure that, there's differentiation there. And then I will say the licensing to show all the games is also difficult. So you have to have kind of a home base, and that's where TUPS really kind of shine forth to really step up and show every single game, which is a pretty big commitment. And that's why they're kind of were identified as the home base for the summer of soccer. We're working diligently on Texas Music Revolution right now. Huge shout out to some of our volunteer team that's kind of stepping up. July 4th celebrations for the 250th. We're seeking a lot more increased participation in the parade. We got a marching band. We added a new marching band, which is great. First time we've ever had a full marching band for this parade. There's other enhancements to the parade. We're also really looking to decorate downtown in a new way that we've ever done before for the 4th. So we're working on these 65 of these patriotic merchant boxes that we're kind of giving to all the merchants to help facilitate decorations around the square. And then we're also going to have swag over the streets on the festoon lights, and we're going to have new light pole banners, you know, other things. This was, there's a historic photo of a building that we used to have in downtown with some patriotic bunting. That's really kind of the inspiration for just kind of the increased decorations that we're going to be adding to downtown. And then we're really hoping our merchants step up as well. So when you come in about a week or a month before the 4th, it should feel extremely patriotic in downtown. Downtown parking technology, there's a pilot program. There's a public meeting. It's going to be at the work session next week, and this is the presentation. I've included that in the packet. But take a look at that. Ultimately, what we're testing are ways to get real-time counts at different lots and then use that real-time data and show in a on kind of signage. So when you go to Chestnut Square during this trial period, you'll have a real-time count of how many parking spots are available there. And then at the South Kentucky lot and in the Chloe lot as well. We're using a really unique kind of digital display. It's kind of like a paper ink display, if you've ever seen like a tablet like that. So it's very low profile, but it will update in real time on a lot of the signage that we already have downtown, which is really cool because we're not adding a bunch of extra signs where we don't need them.
So Andrew, does that mean that if you're looking for a parking spot, you can drive past the lot
sign,
and it's going to say to you, hey, there's four
spots.
Yeah, the spots open. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Again, this is a pilot. So yeah. The way that they're doing that, it's cameras in certain locations, and they're going to be looking at the occupancy in real time. And so there will be a slight lag, but that's what the pilot is really designed to work through. I think the biggest benefit is going to be immediately with the Chestnut garage, because that is going to have immediate benefits. You'll see right away, what the capacity is and what the utility is. Downtown storefront consultation program. So this was from our strategy meeting back in February. We talked about we couldn't do our retail boot camp anymore, and so we worked with identifying a consultant that can come in, do a consultation for storefronts in downtown. We sent out a sign up. We've already got quite a lot of interest. And at the Business Monthly meeting, we had Lance from Formedworks come out and share about the project. But basically, they're going to come out with a team of three individuals. They'll look at everyone's at the initial round of 15 storefronts. They'll give an assessment of the storefront, recommendations on window display to paint color, all of it, right? And then they'll come up with some visual concepts and ideas at different price points for our business stakeholders and our retailers. And they'll come up with priority recommendations and an action plan. The value for this is close to $5,000 to $6,000 from Formworks for each of these consults. And we're able to do the whole project for around $12,000. And so huge shout out to Formworks. They got a great team they work with. And you can take a look at the presentation here because it's really quite interesting how they do their process, and a very impressive organization. And last but not least, downtown fire suppression update. We are starting the LIDAR scanning this upcoming May for blocks C1 and B1. Just as a heads up, we did talk about that at the, we had a couple updates on the fire suppression program, but we're starting to see that implementation of getting the scanning so we can come up with the block-by-block plans. Also have a number of events coming up, but take a look at the calendar there and sit for any questions, I guess.
Okay, any questions for Andrew? All right, now we'll move on to the item 260428, the subcommittee update.
I don't think there's any. Graham is a really important update. Graham is expecting a baby. Baby's probably already here. I don't know.
Baby should be here.
So
let me know. But
they were at the hospital most of the yesterday. And so, once I have an update, I'll share. But they're expecting their third child. So give your congrats, well wishes, prayers, and thoughts to him and his family. I know his wife is you know, they're about a week behind.
over a week.
Yeah, so she's eager to kind of get this going, so I'm moving. So.
Okay, item 260429. Has anybody, everybody had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes.
Is there a motion to approve?
I motion to approve.
I second.
Second. All right, so Jim had the motion to approve, and Lauren, what did you second, or Kim?
That was Kim.
Okay.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Item 260430. Consider and discuss the financial reports. Lauren?
Yes. So Andrew has so kindly shared some notes with me. As you compare last year and this year's statement of financial position, you'll see very similar activity with cash on hand, assets, liabilities, and equity. Some reimbursements to note that are outstanding, totaling about $116,000. Our Christmas reimbursement for $60,000, a security reimbursement for $30,420, $14,000 from Arts and Bloom, and $12,000 from Home for the Holidays. So those are my comments on the statement of financial position. As that relates to the statement of activity, you can see that those reimbursements will have a various impact on the events. One of the items that was mentioned from last meeting that has not taken effect yet is roughly a $100,000 advertising investment that will take place in June as part of the long-term marketing strategic plan. Those are my notes because we are trying to make sure that Andrew can be a part of a milestone with his family today as we have a kindergarten graduation. So anyways, any comments can go to Andrew. That's an important milestone.
Yeah,
if you're celebrating Grant's milestones,
you're
we're milestoning
kind.
It up. So
mm-hmm.
if any of y'all have any other family moments that you would like to highlight in today's meeting, May is a nice season for families, it seems.
I will make a note. Our Arts and Bloom, this is the financial statements are from April 30th, so there's still some outstanding income and expenses with Arts and Bloom. We also have $14,000 that's coming in for that. We did have a rain out basically on Sunday for that, so we do anticipate that's going to be tighter than normal. Although Friday and Saturday was very strong, it wasn't enough to overcome that Sunday. So.
Okay, thank you. Item 260431, update on the downtown trolley.
All right. So we have been testing out some additional times on Wednesday, and we've kind of got some feedback both from the public. Visit McKinney is great as well. That we're looking, they're looking for kind of expanded hours on the weekend. Obviously, Sunday is our third busiest day in downtown, and so we wanted some feedback from the board about basically a Sunday service, adding Sunday service for the trolley. We think it's going to increase ridership, and we would take off Wednesday, and basically shifting more towards the weekend. You know, the riders are obviously asking for it. We have we're seeing heavier traffic on Sundays anyway. And so for us, the swap is kind of cost neutral or cost positive because the hours are a little bit more condensed on Sunday or the proposed hours. We are still seeing very high ridership Thursday through Saturday. We're very strong. We continue to Ryan is doing a great job recruiting drivers and managing drivers, which is always difficult to kind of keep great drivers and keep the whole program running. We also are expanding our PIN program with Visit McKinney. So lots of, we have a 250th one coming out. We're sure excited. And then Ryan is looking at launching the live trolley tracker, which should be this month. So we'll at least be experimenting with that and having, you know, when you go to a stop, there'll be a QR code and you'll be able to scan and see where the trolley is on the route in real time. And that's going to be huge for the service so that people have more information as to whether they should wait there, the trolley's about to come, or maybe just walk a block and pick up the trolley, you know, right down the street. So, so any feedback on adding?
What are the other hours, sorry, for like Friday and Saturday, what are the hours?
So 11 to 7 officially, and then we actually run 10:30 to 7:30 to handle any expanded traffic. So we don't want people to show
Ryan, why don't you come to the dais?
Yeah, you talk too much. Now you got to say it in the microphone.
So yeah, our current hours are Thursday through Saturday, 11 to 7 officially, but we operate 10:30 to 7:30. And on Saturday, he usually starts at 10 and goes to about 8, just to accommodate the traffic. And we don't want to say no to anyone.
The reason that we do that is so that right at 7, if you're on the trolley, we're not kicking you off right there. We're going to get you to where you want to go and then move on.
And then for the proposed Sunday, then 12 to 5, would it make sense for that to be something like 6 or 7?
11 to 6. Yeah, so the public, it would be noon to 5, and then we would actually operate at 11 to 6. Again, bookending the schedule with service comfort, that we don't actually advertise.
Have you seen an increase in the trolley usage during the farmers market on Saturdays, starting around 10:30, or with all the volume of people that go there?
People will spill over from the farmers market to get on the route. But because it's disconnected, the route doesn't run past Davis Street right now. We haven't seen like a direct impact, but people will hang out from the farmers market and then carry over to Chestnut and Louisiana and get on.
It's more that after farmers market traffic. So after they go to the farmers market, they want to go downtown. That's when they're
going. That's when they're going.
Yeah. To this, we haven't, if we modify, it's hard to modify the route just for one day a week, mm-hmm. And message that out effectively to everyone. We did experiment initially with going down Davis, and there just wasn't enough activity long term to make a change to the route permanently. That's something that we could reevaluate.
I think the proposed Sunday makes sense, 12 to 6.
Is there a period of time that you would study the change and then go back to it that's, 90 days to say that this was the right decision or that, we don't need to look at additional expansion, obviously this being the most immediate solution?
We're saying at least a 4-week trial initially, okay. And then we'll implement and we anticipate that we're going to see more success with this. And then we'll incorporate that into all the literature and update of the, this will say, hey, expanded hours for the time being on our website, but we won't really print all the brochures and everything with the new hours until we really test it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Item 260432, an update on the downtown McKinney tree planters.
I just wanted to kind of highlight these are en route. They should arrive. We had a little bit of delay with those, but they anticipate we're going to arrive next week, and then install will be about 2 weeks after that. So, and they'll probably be install 2 or 3 at a time in different locations early in the morning before most of the businesses open in downtown. But there will be a bit of a phase out of this project. So I just want to kind of give an update on the adjustment on the timeline.
All right. Item 260433, consider and discuss downtown construction updates.
Patrick talked a lot about all the different things happening in downtown. We do have some additional update on some of the projects and the timing of the projects in downtown. So CO2409, we have phased that. Basically, there's utility work that will happen later this year, intermittent. But ultimately, that whole project has got pushed back to 2027 and then into 2028. So I don't know, depending on your thoughts on construction, if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But CO222, College Hunt, we're looking at anticipated completion of late summer 2026. So those are College, Hunt, Davis, and Church Street. So they've already done quite a lot of finishing and pavement work over there. It's been messy for a while, and it's great to see kind of pavement on the ground over there. We have the Chestnut storage tank. It is very noisy right now. They are actively sandblasting that. Once they get done with the sandblasting, the noise volume should dramatically decrease, and they'll go into just a strict painting. And so they've done a lot of the structural repairs already. A lot of the welding work has been done. But the sandblasting is the noisiest bit of it, and that's what you're hearing right now in kind of a low roll. Anticipate in the next 2 weeks that should wrap up or sooner. So, an update on the old City Hall and Development Services site and the demo. They are working mostly in the evenings on those sites, so even though it looks like there's not a lot of activity, there is a lot of activity in the evening. And that's really due to the asbestos remediation. That's something that you really, they like to do at night where there's not a lot of people, there's no pedestrians around. And so all that asbestos remediation work is getting done in the evenings. Once development services should be complete in the next week with the asbestos work, and then you'll see actual demo with construction, larger construction trucks there doing the actual demo work.
Thank you. Item 260434, just consider and discuss upcoming events.
Talked briefly about Texas Music Revolution. One of the main things I did want to highlight is an adjustment to the schedule for Texas Music Revolution and the street closures. So at the end of last Texas Music Revolution, we had a series of pretty in-depth meetings with both fire and PD regarding street closures. Their feedback to us is that they wanted to shut down the whole square for the event. We feel like there's a mismatch between the scale of this event and the scale of some of our large festivals. And so in order to kind of, we were tasked to kind of mediate a solution moving forward that will enhance public safety and the safety of our guests for the event, but also kind of balance the needs of the downtown for this event. So what we're going to be experimenting with this year is the footprint will largely be the same up through about 5 to 5:30. And then starting at 5 to 5:30, we'll shut down Inbound Louisiana at church. And it'll be very similar to most of our festival setup there. And then Inbound on Virginia will detour to Tennessee. So it's not going to be a full closure of downtown because Tennessee Inbound will kind of go down through Louisiana. You'll make a right-hand turn. But, you know, the Inbound portion of, you know, Louisiana and Virginia, they'll have different detours. And so that'll be starting at 5:30. This is something we're really keen on experimenting. We'll see how it goes this year. But we're a little nervous about that for downtown, obviously. But it was something that we didn't really have a choice to implement. PD and fire were really concerned about people crossing with traffic and what that was doing during the event. So that's our big kind of operational change for Texas Music Revolution and the footprint. And ultimately, based on how it goes, we'll have to kind of reevaluate the event and its footprint in downtown.
And so is the homegrown stage still moved to Tennessee?
There's no changes in locations of the stages.
Okay.
It's really just starting at 5 to 5:30, because it takes a while. You just can't immediately, you know, shut down a footprint like that. We'll just detour inbound traffic on Louisiana and also on Virginia.
Okay. So if there's vehicles parked in the square
outbound,
prior to that,
outbound will still be open. Yep.
Yeah.
So it'll feel like on the outbound, it'll still be open.
Right.
But ultimately, you know, they're trying to cut down the volume of traffic by, you know, almost 99%, right? Because you might have in those blocks, you know, 40 or 50 cars, some of which are there for the event, right? But that's dramatically reducing the amount of traffic coming through the festival footprint.
But I can't remember. I know we do it for, I think, Oktoberfest. So will there be like a shuttle or anything from the church, from the Baptist church?
Because of this change, we're considering two shuttle locations, one from City Hall here, mostly on Saturday, though, just because the building is going to be operational, you know, throughout the day here on Friday, and then also First McKinney. So
gotcha.
We're evaluating that. I think that'll be determined based on, like, ticket sales and how things are trending.
Yeah, cool.
All right. Thank you. All right, this is a public hearing. Are there any public comments? Then at this time, I'll see, are there any board or manager comments?
I had one that I wanted to make. I do serve on this board, but my full-time job is serving the Hugs organization, and I wanted to bring you guys some updates. Our last date at 224 East Virginia is going to be May 30th. And we are very, very excited that our headquarters is going to be opening July 2nd. So get those dates on your calendar. We are going to be doing a toast to moving May 29th to kick off our final weekend in operation. But May 30th is our last day in our original building, and we'll be moving to our headquarters at July 2nd. So be sure to come see us.
How is the construction project progressing?
Really, really awesome. We have all of our flooring in, all of our millwork and cabinetry is in, all of our light fixtures are in, our kitchen equipment is in, furniture is on its way. So, yeah, it's exciting times.
And what was that July date?
July 2nd.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right. Hey, Andrew, this is Daniel. Just a quick question on what we're talking about, trolley schedules.
Sure.
And you mentioned the looking for additional drivers. What due diligence do we do on drivers?
Yep.
Is there?
So they actually go through the city process.
Okay.
For hiring. So full background check. Basically, it's it's all the same sort of coverage because the vehicle is actually owned by the city. So the city's pretty invested in how we
screening.
How we
yep.
Screen it. And,
perfect. Thank yeah. you.
I think the problem is finding a driver that can have a great customer service and also, commit to, some long shifts and, very consistent schedule. That's, I think, the hardest challenge for the operation. And right now we have three drivers, and then we have some subs, too, that we are able to call on if somebody isn't able to make it. And then Ryan has been... He's driven a few shifts over the block. So, not too many, hopefully. But
did you wear the hat and the whole outfit the whole thing?
No.
He's going to have to come back up here.
Yeah, great question.
Anybody else? All right, thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn? Jim?
Make a motion.
Anybody second?
I'll second it.
Kim will second. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Aye.
Oh, everybody in favor.
Yeah.
Now we're done.